coming up on this week's mini episode of the Drew Perowit Podcast.
We breathe about 20,000 to 25,000 times a day. And if you're struggling to do that, if you're doing that in a dysfunctional way, it's going to affect your health.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Blue Blocks. So you know that I've done so many episodes on the topic of sleep because I'm obsessed with it. Sleep is one of those things that you nail it, you get your sleep right, you optimize your sleep, it changes everything. It changes everything. That's why the clinicians at our medical clinic and a lot of my friends that have been on this podcast, sleep is one of the biggest areas that they focus on. I'm always trying to come up with better solutions for sleep. Now, there's a ton of things that you can do that are super low cost, and there's also gadgets that you can include in that can make a difference. Now, the thing about gadgets is that many of the gadgets out there can be pretty inexpensive or inaccessible to a lot of people, but there are some low-tech gadgets, and I want to talk about one of them, and that is affordable blue light blocking glasses. This is a super easy way to block the blue light from screens and from the light that's coming from your room. And what it does is it boosts your body's natural melatonin production. I love the blue light blocking glasses made by Blue Blocks because unlike other mass-produced brands, their glasses are based on peer-reviewed literature and the science of how light impacts health. Blue Blocks glasses have improved my sleep and I've handed a few out to some friends and it's helped their sleep as well too, which means now they have more energy throughout the day. The team at Blue Blocks makes a variety of high-quality blue light glasses to cover different areas of your life. For example, they have clear lenses, blue light line to combat computer screen and artificial light. They have summer glow line to block blue light, but add in a little yellow light for mood-boosting effects. And their sleep line, which also you can wear a few hours before bed, and that blocks 100% of blue and green light for optimum melatonin production, improved sleep. That's what I'm all about. That's the one that I recommend the most to folks. Blue Blocks has more than 40 stylish frame options available in prescription, non-prescription, and readers. And they even, get this, have kids' sizes. Right now, Blue Blocks is offering my listeners 20% off. Just go to blueblocks.com/Drew and use the code Drew. That's D-H-R-U, all one word. So Blue Blocks is blueblocks.com/DHRU with the code Drew, DHRU. I hope you'll check them out so that you can get better quality sleep to give love and attention to all the things you care about in the day. Now, let's get back to this week's episode. Hi, everyone. Drew Perowit here. It can be all too easy to take the body for granted, especially those functions that we don't absolutely have to think about in order to survive. Breathing is one of those things, but here's the thing. It deserves more attention than most of us give it. My guest on today's mini episode, James Nestor and Dr. Lou Ignaro, talk to us about the forgotten power of breathing and why breath is the anchor for all systems in the body. My first guest, James Nestor, is an author and journalist who's written for Scientific America, Outside, the New York Times, and many more. His latest book, it's called Breath, The New Science of a Lost Art, explores how the human species has lost the ability to breathe properly and, more importantly, what we can do to get it back. Let's listen in to my interview with James Nestor. So early in the book, one of the things that you brought up as you started to tell family, friends, individuals that you were looking into this topic of breathing and breath, one of the first things that came up for folks was, why do I need to learn how to breathe? I've been doing this for most of my life. So tell us the answer to that question and help our audience understand why paying attention to their breath, even though it's something they've done all along, is actually something that could potentially help them alleviate from so many of these things that we've gotten used to as a species.
Well, a lot of people think that breathing is binary. I certainly did. It was, if we were breathing, that was a good thing because we were alive. And if we weren't, that was bad. We were dead or we were really sick or unconscious. But how we breathe depends, influences so much of our health. It's just like what we eat. You can't just say, as long as I'm eating food, I'm alive. And if I'm not eating food, that's bad. That, you know, it depends what kinds of food you're eating. And with breathing, it's how you take in that air. We breathe about 20,000 to 25,000 times a day. And if you're struggling to do that, if you're doing that in a dysfunctional way, it's going to affect your health. So there's not a lot of controversy about this. So anyone who's researched this knows that this is so true, and there's so much science behind it. But I was pretty shocked that it took me so long to figure this out, and that everyone that I had talked to had no idea that they were breathing improperly and had no idea that so many of their chronic issues were attached to their poor breathing. And that's what I spent years and years trying to research, get my head around.
And one of the ways that you researched that in the beginning was, as you start off the book, is you went to Stanford and you met a doctor there to participate in a program. Share a little bit more about that.
So I'm lucky enough to live in San Francisco, where I'm really close to Stanford. So I use their medical library all the time. And I started interviewing experts there, and I found the chief of rhinology research at Stanford, this guy named Dr. Jayakar Nayak. So we had these very long lunches where we talked about all types of things. And he's a big nose guy. So he's very frustrated that many of us aren't breathing through our noses, because we have this incredible organ in the front of our faces that serves so many different functions. And yet 25 to 50% of the population is breathing through its mouth habitually, which is causing all kinds of damage, neurological problems, respiratory problems, high blood pressure. I mean, on and on and on. So we started talking more and more over a course of several months. And he knew the problems associated with mouth breathing. Everyone in his field knew that, but nobody knew how quickly those problems came on. So I said, yeah, it's Stanford. Why don't you test it? And he thought doing so would be, in his words, unethical, because he knew how injurious it could be to the body. So I volunteered for an experiment. I said, hey, let me get one other person. So it's an N2 experiment. And let's just see what happens. 10 days of mouth breathing versus 10 days of nasal breathing. And we'll collect a bunch of data before, during, and after, and just see if it affects us in any way.
And you actually went through that. And in that period of time, when you purposely force yourself through a device on your nose, just a little contraption, you force yourself to breathe through your mouth. What did you notice, and what was surprising about it?
So a lot of people, at least my friends at the time, thought this was some sort of supersize me stunt, you know, and I didn't view it that way at all. And either did Nayak or the researchers that were helping us out with this little experiment. We were just lulling ourselves into a position that so much of the population is already contending with. The difference was we were collecting data and seeing what happened. So I had silicon up my nose. Sounds awful, because it was. And I was just forced to breathe through my mouth, which sounds awful because it certainly was. But again, so many people are doing this day in and day out and are used to it. So the first thing that happened, within just a couple hours, my blood pressure was as high as I'd ever seen it in my entire life. And I thought, oh, I'm just stressed out. It's been a crazy day. We spent 8 hours at Stanford getting 4 different blood draws, pulmonary function tests, you know, not the most fun thing in the world. But then that night I started snoring for the first time that I'm aware of, snoring for about an hour and a half. And that snoring got worse and worse as the study went on, until I was snoring for 4 hours throughout the night. I got sleep apnea. So did the other subject in the study, Anders Olsen. Had the same exact thing. We were fatigued. We were miserable. We couldn't concentrate. I mean, it was so severe. We knew it wasn't going to be fun, but we had no idea this was going to be so brutal. And to think that so many people are walking around breathing this way and not realizing that at least some of their chronic issues are tied to the ways in which they're breathing was just absolutely bizarre and kind of sad to me.
One of the things that I really appreciate about your book is that you do go into the recommendations that are out there, and not just generally like we have to pay more attention to this, we should give it more love. There are actually really amazing and emerging things that we can do to solve this at all sorts of levels. And I really appreciate that, because I think the challenge that a lot of journalists felt in the past was they make too strong recommendations. Do they come across as an advocate rather than a storyteller for it? So thank you first and foremost for that. I'd like to go into some of those recommendations. And let's start first with the recommendations around our jaw. So through this disevolutionary process of us not chewing, us having smaller nasal cavities and breathing airways, and many other mechanisms that end up preventing us from breathing as deeply and getting as much oxygen in, and through the right mechanism, which is through our nose, we've ended up at a place where we have all these issues that we've talked about. But as we mentioned with the plasticity, there are things that are out there, tools that people can tap into to reverse a little bit of that process. What are some examples of those tools that you found through writing this book?
Sure. I just want to dunk into the advocate evangelist thing just for a second. And I think you really nailed it. That is not my job as a journalist. I have no background in medicine. I'm not selling anything. I'm not selling any product. My job is to go into a world I don't understand and to try to figure it out and talk to the experts in the field. So I would like to be an advocate for data, an evangelist for facts. And that's really the position I want to stay in. So I'm not a breathing therapist. I do not offer prescriptions, blanket prescriptions for people. What I do is I filter out research from the leading experts, and I show what has worked for other people per the science. So along those lines, so if you want to establish better nasal breathing, if that's the first thing you need to do, is to figure out your airway, because no matter how many pranayamas you do, no matter how much Sudarshan Kriya or Wim Hof method you do, if your airways are messed up, it doesn't matter how focused you want to be or how learned you are in all of these different breathing techniques. You have to fix your airway. And that begins with breathing through your nose. A lot of people say, I would breathe through my nose, but I can't because I'm constantly congested. So I just breathe through my mouth. You have to find a way of clearing your nose. It's as simple as that. Some people need surgical interventions. A lot of people don't. Dr. Jayak Aranayak told me, if a sink is plugged in your house, you're going to find a way of clearing it as soon as possible. The nose needs to be considered the same thing. So going back into that blanket prescription, everyone's different. So some people I've found got benefit from starting with those breathe right strips, which help to open up the nostrils a little more. Mute inserts can also be helpful. Using sleep tape at night, I've found to be incredibly helpful. I've gotten hundreds of letters from people who say they no longer are snoring right now because of sleep tape. So that's interesting. This is something Mark Berheny has been researching for decades and decades. So I would really start with those things. And if none of those work, if a neti pot doesn't work, then you can start exploring different procedures. But I would start with the things that are free, that have no side effects, that are available to all of us. Because what I've seen is the vast majority of us can really get a ton of benefit from those. And that's what Nyack has seen as well.
And I know it's working because I've been into the world of mouth taping for a while. And I recently brought my fiance into that world, and she's getting the best sleep that she's ever had in her life is what she feels. But previously, when you would look up mouth tape on Amazon, where a lot of people go, there's a prominent company that's out there that a lot of people would use their product. But since your book has come out, I've seen one of the things that's come up in it is you say, look, there's a lot of really great solutions that's out there, and there's different people that are meeting different needs. But for people who want to start off with mouth taping, they can even just start off with a little square patch of surgical tape. That is one very low cost thing. And a lot of companies make surgical tape, and it's pretty easily accessible. And in this period of time, since I've been into mouth breathing, I saw somewhere right around when your book came out, I knew that it was working because surgical tape came up to the top of mouth breathing when you typed it inside of Amazon. So people are using it and they're getting better from the process.
Yeah, I think 3M is extremely confused of what's going on with the rush for mouth tape right now. It was sold out for weeks and weeks. They're probably like, what the hell? A bunch of people doing home surgery now. This is very strange. But whatever works for people works. I would not go on YouTube and look at advice unless you're looking at Dr. Mark Berheny or you're looking at Patrick McEwen and his advice, because people are using duct tape. They're using masking tape. You don't need any of this stuff. This is not a hostage situation. Okay. This is just trying to train your jaw to be closed at night very softly. If you can breathe through the sides of your mouth, even if you can talk with this tape on, cool. The point of this is just to gently remind you to keep your mouth shut. And the great thing about so much of these hacks is we have technologies now that can measure how well they're working. So I've measured my sleep not using mouth tape with a pulse oximeter versus using mouth tape. I've used an app called SnoreLab, which records your snoring throughout the night. You can take other metrics before and after. You can look at your pH. And breathing is so easy to measure. So the benefits of it are so easy to see in this day and age. So this is not some placebo effect. This is your body operating in an efficient way. And the fact that it's helping so many people overcome snoring, I mean, 9 out of 10 of my friends who've tried it are no longer snoring. I'm not going to say it's going to work for you. I'm not promising anything, but it's free and it's worth giving it a go. And if you look online, you can see hundreds or thousands of people who are saying the same thing. That one product, that branded type of mouth tape called Somnifix, it works great. And it works great for a lot of people. So go for that if you want to use it. So I'm not an evangelist. I'm not an advocate for any specific product. What I'm trying to say is there are benefits to nasal breathing, especially during sleep. You should really train yourself to do that by any means.
My next guest, Dr. Lou Ignaro, is a medical research scientist who was awarded the Nobel Prize in Medicine for his breakthrough discovery of nitric oxide and how it positively impacts health and longevity. Nitric oxide is currently being utilized all over the world by hospitals and universities as a possible treatment, not just for heart health, but for COVID-19 as well. In this episode, Dr. Ignaro talks to us about why breathing through your nose is so important to overall health. One benefit to nasal breathing is the production of nitric oxide. Our sinuses produce nitric oxide, which is known to fight harmful bacteria and even viruses, and yes, even COVID-19. Not to mention, it also helps regulate blood pressure and improves the body's immune system. Let's listen in to my interview with Dr. Lou Ignaro. I want to return back to breathing, because let's even start with the basics. You know, most of us were never really taught how to breathe, and we kind of take it for granted. We just go about our day, we're breathing, we don't really check in on it. Every so often, maybe we might notice that we're holding our breath, or we think about it in terms of athletic performance. But take us from the point of us actually intaking oxygen and how that is connected to the process of breathing and ultimately creating the majority. Nitric oxide is kind of created in a few different places, but it seems to be, from all the discoveries that you've been part of and other individuals, that there's something special about breathing through the nose. So can you walk us through that?
Sure, of course. That discovery was made about 15 years ago from actually a couple of great friends of mine, party friends of mine, in Stockholm, Sweden, at the Karolinska Hospital. What they discovered, they were looking at asthmatics, and they were trying to measure, you know, how much nitric oxide is in the exhaled breath of asthmatics. And those studies, they worked out okay, but what they discovered, what I'm trying to say is what they discovered in those studies doing various manipulations is that when one breathes through the nose into the lungs, that air has a very high concentration of NO gas. When you breathe in through the mouth, there's no NO gas. And so the idea was, the question came up, of course, logically, why? You know, why is that air that comes through the nose full of nitric oxide? And they found that the nasal mucosal cells in the nose is complicated inside, and those nasal cells make lots of nitric oxide gas, okay? And when you breathe in through your nose, that nitric oxide gas goes into the lungs. And they figured out three things. One, that when you breathe in the NO, the nitric oxide is what we call a smooth muscle relaxing agent. In other words, when the nitric oxide hits the tracheal smooth muscle and the bronchial smooth muscle, it relaxes it. So the trachea and the bronchioles widen so that more air can get in the lungs. The other thing NO does when you breathe in through the nose is it reaches the pulmonary circulation. So all the small pulmonary arteries, capillaries, and so on, they all dilate in order to increase blood flow to the lungs. And, you know, I mean, Mother Nature is very smart. Of course you want to do that. You want to get more blood in the lungs so that there's more blood to pick up oxygen. You want to dilate the bronchioles to get more air and therefore more oxygen in the lungs. And you can get a much better oxygen extraction from the lungs into the blood by breathing in through your nose. And then, of course, the blood will carry the circulation carries the oxygenated blood through the rest of the body. But the third thing that was found actually a few years later was that nitric oxide is antimicrobial as well. Nitric oxide is a reactive free radical. So it can kill certain microbes. It can react covalently with certain components of bacteria, parasites, and yes, viruses, and yes, coronavirus. And when the nitric oxide does that, it kills those microbes, let me call them microbes, and prevents them from multiplying, okay? And that's how breathing in through your nose, you know, protects us against everyday, you know, influenzas and all kinds of infections that can occur because there's so much garbage in the air. And so I believe, as you do, I think, it's essential when you're inhaling to inhale through the nose. There are many other reasons too to inhale through the nose. Inhaling through the mouth, you don't bring in any nitric oxide. All these deleterious substances present in the air go directly into your throat. They go into your teeth, into your buccal cavity, oral cavity, can promote gum disease, can promote cavities, and on and on. So, you know, one could write a whole book, and I think a book has been written as to why you should inhale through your nose and not your mouth.
There is nothing more essential to our health and well-being than breathing. How well our body takes in oxygen, processes it, impacts our health on every level, from how well we sleep to our stress response and even our metabolism. Breath is an incredible tool for optimizing health. Thanks for tuning into this week's mini episode of the Drew Perowit Podcast. Be grateful for your breath. If you are alive and you're listening to this, that means that you're also breathing. There's so many things that our body does that we take for granted. Breath is one of them. But in this moment, if you're not driving, and if you can, just close your eyes for like 2 seconds. Just with me, just close your eyes for like 2 seconds and just send a little bit of gratitude to your body and to your breath for keeping you alive and working all the time to just make sure you can show up on earth and give love and attention to all the beautiful things that we're meant to do on this earth. If this podcast meant something to you, if it changed your mind or gave you some new information, do me a favor, share it with a friend. Maybe it might make their day. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you back soon.